Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. Great to have you with us. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. We're talking about not getting attached to players versus teams. You know, it's difficult because you want to root for certain people. I just don't think you can get so attached to them because just, people don't stay in the same spot. Just don't. Now, Mike Schmidt is rare.
See, I think that's why I expected so much because growing up, Mike Schmidt did stay there. So I kind of figured... That's the way it always was. You know, Willie Stargell was another one. Dave Parker. Those are the guys that I followed in baseball.
Dave Parker didn't. Dave Parker went to the Cincinnati Reds.
See, I remember him vaguely as a Red.
Well, he still went there.
No, I understand, but I'm just saying, I remember him vaguely. Stargell, I remember.
Stargell and Clemente both played their entire career with the Pirates. Okay? But...
I'd forgotten about going to the Reds, but yeah, Stargell I remember.
But Al Oliver didn't, Richie Zisk didn't, Dave Cash didn't, Bob Robertson didn't, Richie Hebner didn't. Those are all part of the great Pirate teams. Greg Luzinski didn't play his entire career with the Phillies. Steve Carlton didn't. Right? The A guy did. Mike Schmidt. I mean, and that's, it's not the same anymore. Let's take another guy that didn't, really good, Curt Schilling. Red Sox, Houston. He was briefly with Baltimore, I think, with Red Sox, Baltimore, Houston, something like that. Red Sox, Baltimore, Houston, Phillies, Diamondbacks, Red Sox. He, have you followed what's happened? The issue with his daughter and Twitter trolls.
Oh, that's that. I was listening. He was on Dan Patrick earlier this week. What a horrible thing! I mean,
but this is what's happening.
I understand, yeah. But oh,
hey, but this is what happens. To his credit, he's out there. He's pushing it hard. Not only that, they found out who's doing it. Most recent blog, he detailed the names and occupations of the men leading to their subsequent firings and suspensions from jobs and academic institutions.
Including the one where his daughter was actually going to be attending.
Yes. And one worked for the Yankees in tickets.
Yes, I did see that.
He said, quote, this is going to be, potentially, legal implications with a couple of these. He said, they were that bad. Schilling made the statement in an interview with CBS this morning. I plan to pursue all legal options. Let's just say that. This will follow them the rest of their lives, and for some of these guys, I'll make sure it does. All he said was he was proud his daughter was going to go pitch college softball. Well, I didn't know if she's a pitcher, but she's going to play softball in college at Salve Regina University. That's great. He's just trying to tell people he's proud of his daughter. And this is the reaction you get?
And
this is
some
the reaction
of the,
you get.
Some of the reaction, I mean, they mentioned it on the show. I won't even feel comfortable saying it.
There were lewd and explicit tweets
horrible.
That were put out there. All right? How often, no matter what it is, Kevin, Twitter, and then the reaction to it. Okay? Message board post. Oh, the reaction to it. Anything like that. I don't care what social area you're in. I give them credit for going through and finding who these people were. If you, the issue I have and have always had, in part with social media or with message boards, is that you don't put your name on it. You don't put your name on it. You may disagree vehemently with what I say and what my opinion is. But I'm the one saying it. I've talked about this before, Dave Jones of the Patriot. You may vehemently disagree with what he writes or how he approaches it, but you know what? Dave puts his name on every single thing. He backs up what he writes. I back up what I say. Kevin backs up what he says with our names. That's why you ask me if I read any of this stuff, and the answer is no. Unless you put your name on it, I really don't want to read it.
And your Twitter handle is not your name.
No, although obviously, you know what? Now, do I have a Twitter account? Yes, as we all know, we've.
Let's rephrase that. The show has an account.
The show has a Twitter account. Yes. Me posting on it's a different animal.
When that happens, the world will begin the final times. Yep.
No, well, I can tell you right now, then we obviously haven't hit that yet.
Nope, we're good.
We're good. World's fine. But when I do this show, you may vehemently disagree with something I say. You may think I'm out in left field is what I say. You may not agree with me poking fun at Kevin, but I'm the one doing it with my name back behind it. I'm not doing it behind a screen. Now, on the other hand, you may agree with everything I say, and I'm really happy about that.
Even I don't do that.
And you're paid to.
That's right. And I'm contractually obligated.
What does the show mean to you, Kevin? Oh, thousands of dollars a year contractually.
Contractually.
But that's what you do. If it's not worth backing it up with your name, don't print it. Don't send it. Don't react to it.
See, I think you have to take this mentality now. If you're on, and this is what I try to do when I post on Twitter or Facebook. Would I say this to this person if they were right smack in front of me?
Can somebody explain to me, and I ask this in all seriousness because I am a non-participant, why signature names are used on message boards? Is there a rule about
that?
What
do you mean by signature names?
Well, in other words, it's not your name when you post something on a message board.
Oh, it's a handle or a user ID.
Or a handle, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Is it required or I don't know. I don't know what the rules are. I have no idea.
Everyone's different. But for instance, Twitter, it has to be a unique name. So there are many people out there with, if you do a search and search Kevin Herr, you're going to get a lot of Kevin Herrs. So I think that's why.
Hold on one second.
No, it's there. Believe me.
Allow me to absorb that thought.
They're not all me, okay? And I'm not saying that anybody is trying to defame me or anything like that. I'm just saying there's a lot of people that have the same name. So I think that's why they use handles, because each one's unique.
Right. Yeah, I don't know the rules of it. That's obviously I'm not a part of it. I don't. If there's a specific rule, that okay, I understand the rules. You know, as to why, and somebody would have to explain that to me. I don't know. But to me, I'm not. I don't have a lot of interest in it. If you're not backing it up, your opinion with your name. I mean, people call this show. You know, Joe in Greensburg called yesterday. Dick and Milton called. I mean, their first names, whatever. That's fine. That's great. At least they're putting a name to it. You know, Dave and Sunbury. You know, we've had calls from Maryland. We've had calls from Williamsport, Muncie, whatever, Lock Haven, you know, all over the place. You know, Sealands Grove. Lots of great callers. You know, but at least they give us a name. And, of course, their voice is on there as well. But, see, that's the issue I've always had. Whether if it's something where either on a message board or on Twitter where you would say to yourself, well, I certainly wouldn't put my name behind that, then don't send it. And it's not as if we don't make mistakes on here. As I pointed out the entire time, this job now has become an incredible tightrope at times, especially in the area of sense of humor. Because you are one word or a phrase away from going from host to listener. Now, Kurt Schilling has gone out and he's attacked a lot of this. For example, you may not agree at all with my opinion on Troy Polamalu. You may not agree at all with my assessment of the importance of Ben Roethlisberger. That's fine. It's your prerogative to disagree. That's fine. That's part of the fun and the give and take. The give and take is what I love. I love the give and take more than anything else. Love with, you know, when we get callers and there's give and take and I get to hear what people think, say, and so forth, or maybe answer a question that they don't know about. Because obviously, you know, I'm fortunate that I'm in a spot where maybe I know and can answer something because I'm around it, because they aren't. A little more of an inside take. Obviously, I have a few more inside takes than most people would, for obvious reasons. And I know people take advantage of that and they ask questions. That's great. That's part of the give and take of the show. But everything I do say is backed by me. It's my name behind it. You know, Steve Jones thinks. Well, those words don't really go together.
Are you talking about the website that was created?
Steve Jones opines. Whatever. But that's what, or you may agree with what, I agree. Roethlisberger's the most important guy. Whatever it happens to be. You may not agree. Joe, last night we've had a couple calls about the opinion piece I did on how Penn State basketball got to this point under Patrick Chambers. And I gave a long list of, while reasons, obstacles he's had to overcome that makes it a difficult job. I talked about a lack of recruiting area or a depth of talent that would be a Power 5 kind of talent within a 150-mile radius of State College, a lack of a depth of a basketball tradition here. I talked about that. But I also talked about in the realm of what happened with the scandal here and the timing of it. And I pointed out that is it a coincidence that 14 was a struggle football-wise? Was it that 14-15 is a struggle women's basketball-wise, that it's a struggle, you know, despite the men being close, still been a struggle men's basketball-wise? Is it a coincidence that maybe, you know, wrestling this year at Penn State could be a 4, 5, 6, 7th place team nationally this year? Because the top wrestlers that accumulated so many points in this great program that Kale's done such a great job with were all signed before the scandal happened. You know, and it's something, points that I brought out and discussed, but again, it was me discussing it. I wasn't taking it and hiding it behind any veil. I don't mind people having opinions, but I'd rather read opinions of people who at least, you know, I may not agree with the opinion of Bob Ryan, for example, or Stephen A. Smith. But at least I know who it is. At least I know where they're coming from. Now, obviously, somebody can call here and not use their actual first name. But at least they put, at least that's their voice out there. They're not hiding it or disguising it. Now, I do recognize, you know, two of the voices, I mean, that have called in support of Kevin, they're family members. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Forget March Madness!
At Sunbury Motors Kia, there's nothing to be mad about. Because in the month of March, every pre-owned vehicle we have is on sale. It's March Happiness Month. Wanna see hundreds of vehicles to choose from, starting at just $39.88. Sunbury Motors Kia has what you want. And if not, we'll get it for you. Package that with the best interest rates available, and you'll be happy. So whether it's a car, truck, van, or SUV you're looking for, Sunbury Motors Kia is your one-stop shop. And you get the advantage of SMC's lowest price promise and Auto Club, where we pay you for the miles you drive. It's better than free. We pay you. So check us out at sunburymotors.com 24/7 or stop in for the March Happiness Sale at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf, where we've been selling more cars and satisfying more customers for 100 years.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Hey, how do you feel about that? Because, you know, there may be some of you out there that, for example, post on message boards, and it's probably a requirement that you use a handle. What standard do you use when you go that route?
See, I think it's as simple as what I said earlier. If you wouldn't say it to their face, standing right in front of them, why would you say it anywhere else? And if you would say it in front of their face, you know, would you be willing to accept the consequences of it?
Well, I think it goes even simpler than that. Would you back it up with your name? If you feel your name means something, and I think everybody's name means something. Some names may be better known than others, but everybody's name means something. And if you would bet, you know, that's the standard. You'd have to ask yourself, okay, if I'm going to write this, or I'm going to type this, or I'm going to tweet this, would I be willing to back it up with my identity, with my name, with my integrity? It's a simple standard. And you can take the same set of facts and you can draw different conclusions from the same set of facts. That's what opinions are. Now, some people have, obviously, a more informed opinion than somebody else. Okay? I would expect that people would assume that I have a more informed opinion on certain subjects than other people because, obviously, I have a lot more access to items than other people would. Thus, when I do form an opinion, it's based on something I've talked to somebody about that knows something about it, or I've seen it myself. Fair enough? I think that doesn't mean on everything. I mean, we'll sit here and we'll talk about what Flacco means or what Roethlisberger means, whatever. It's just an opinion. Then there are other things I talk about where I think you have to assume that when I'm doing it, it's from what should be perceived as a well-informed opinion. Because I have more information to work with. For example, somebody asked me let's take a small example. Somebody asked me about Trace McSorley before the bowl game. Well, I was able to at least talk about, okay, he can do this, he can do that, I like this, he's improved here, he needs to work on this. So I'm giving your opinion of what I see, but at least I sat there and I've watched him and I see it. I'll give you a great example of that. When Pat Devlin and Darryl Clark are going head-to-head, and I remember I gave I was talking about Clark and his arm strength and so forth, and this guy in the audience at Harrisburg says, Pat Devlin has a much stronger arm than Darryl Clark. And I looked at the guy and said, no, he doesn't. Clark has a stronger arm, throws a better ball than Devlin does. And the guy said, oh, please, you're just taking the company line. I looked at the guy and I said, over a 10-week span, I watched each guy throw 4,000 balls. 100 a day, 4 days a week for 10 weeks. That's practice. And you're going to tell me that after watching one guy throw 4,000 and the other guy throw 4,000 that I don't have a handle on who has a better arm?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. 90 minutes away from the Penn State basketball show. At Damon's, soon to be called Letterman's. Here in State College.
Are you still going to be able to get your ribs? That's the real question. That's what you're worried about the most.
Don't worry about such things, ma'am. You know, I worry about everything.
Right.
All right. So, it's amazing. Nobody who posted on a message board called 800-795-9565. Thought we get somebody to call up, talk about, what standard they use when they post on a message board.
I think most people use the standard called common sense. Most. Not all. Most. Sometimes I think you feel the need to vent on a message board or Facebook because it seems easy. I think that's what you find a lot of people venting there.
Venting?
Yeah, venting. Oh, I can't believe they released Troy Polamalu. This is ridiculous. Why in the world would they do something like that? He's the best secondary player they have. That was not my post, by the way. I know where you're going with that. That's not where I did not use it.
Well, now we've kind of like hit a fine line between listening to that where it's gone from venting to whining. Dick and Milton joins us. Hi, Dick. How have you been?
I'm good, thank you. I just wanted to tell you I'm on my way right now to State College. We're leaving in the morning on the Penn State fan bus for the Big Ten wrestling. So that's where I'll be on Saturday and Sunday, and hopefully we'll do okay. I mean, I'm not expecting great things other than maybe a fourth place or third at the best. But this is what it is. They're down this year. You won't be down next year.
Well, I hope you're right about that because, they are going to lose some points at the top out of this next year, too. I mean, it's going to be it's really an interesting spot for them because they will get Rutherford and Megalutis back, but they don't have everybody back from this team either.
They lose Brown, and they lose the heavyweight. They redshirted all the freshmen. And that Devils kid from California is the real deal at heavyweight. And they got Nichols at 174, and Nolf is just as good as you get there. Where we end up, I don't know. So they're going to be even a little bit better next year. I'm thinking so. We'll see down the road. I mean, maybe that's optimistic, but I think they're going to be pretty darn good.
I think they'll be really good because I know, for example, at 65, they've got somebody they absolutely love at 65 that has the athleticism of an Ed Ruth.
that brings it in that weight class. And even though Garrett Hammonds has done well, they think this guy's going to be even better. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle that moving forward. They're out there right now. It's going to be at St. John Arena.
Right.
Which I haven't been in that arena since 1997, Dick. And it used to be my favorite arena in the Big Ten. Now, I don't know if it still looks like that or not, but everything's right. I think if one thing you'll find out is like you, no matter where you're sitting in it, you're going to feel like you're right on top of the map.
My favorite arena of all the places I've been to for watching wrestling was Carver Hawkeye. I really thought it was excellent out there when we were there. I just like the whole feel of the whole thing, for it doesn't matter what it is, just the way it opens up. And you know, you don't have to even walk around the whole outside of what you could when I was there. I walk around the whole top and look over and see stuff. You don't miss stuff by going to a restroom or going to a concession stand. I like that aspect of Carver Hawkeye when I was there. So what this is,
yeah,
is I've never been out there.
Right. That's one where you enter from the top and you go
right
down to your seat. And everything is
right,
everything is built around, whether it's a mat or the court, it's all built around that. And every seat's facing in that direction. A lot like Cole Fieldhouse at Maryland used to be.
Yeah, I really like the feel of Carver Hawkeye. I've never been to Cole, and obviously I've never been out here. I've been to a lot of them over the years, like a lot of them. When we went to University of Indiana back when Bobby Knight was, we were watching, we were there early, and then they closed the curtains and asked us to leave because they were going to practice this. We were there for football. It was kind of nice when we get to visit different arenas and see them during Penn State football game. But they wouldn't let us watch practice at Bobby Knight. That was his policy, which is fine. I didn't come in and argue with the guy. But it was kind of neat. But I wanted to tell you that I email and I obviously phone, and my phone's one step above an operator right now. But I do not text, tweet, or whatever, or send smoke signals. I guess that's what I was going to tell you. But anyhow, we're on our way. I'm going to miss the Bucknell basketball game, which is really tough, but that's just the way it is. I can't be everywhere at once. So.
Well, Dick, it's always fun for us to hear from you. I always enjoy your opinions very much. I think they're very informed and very passionate.
Well, I was going to call yesterday. I didn't have a chance because I wanted to bring this up when you guys were talking about another arena for Penn State basketball, you know, at best. I kept hearing for a long time that actually they would have liked another wrestling. Sanderson would have liked something smaller than Beck Hall bigger than Beck Hall, but smaller than Georgia Center. And of course, now they built the ice hockey. I just can't sort of bring up all over campus. We can't have one for, you know. So I wouldn't have anticipated that. But they could actually get
Right, that wasn't what he was saying. We were talking about idealistically what they should have had. They're not going to get a new one. I mean, idealistically, they should have for basketball a 10,000 to 11,000 seat arena with every seat built around the court. Idealistically, that's what they should have. Realistically, it's not going to happen.
Well, I had season tickets there for 2 years when Barkell first, when they first opened the Jordan Center, and this is not any reflection on anything in particular, except that. Guys, you know, they had tickets at Rec Hall, so we go over to the Jordan Center, and they put us in the upper deck, and you could, I've done this before, when I gave them up, I could get better tickets than in Wolfsburg at the, one of the outlets down there, and they gave us the season ticket holders, which I thought was really unfair.
And, Dick, I thought that was wrong. I thought it was handled wrong. I've always said, and I've told people, that anybody, when they made the transition from Rec Hall to the Jordan Center, anybody who's a longtime season ticket holder should be treated like gold, because you've always made the investment, and they should have been given first choice on seats in the new building and not done it just based on money. But that was my opinion of mine only.
Well, that was one of my they were giving me a bad taste about thinking at Penn State back then. And now I guess if you want to go, you just go get a ticket. You know, it's not like you're not going to get a seat. When they went to the Davis Gym to Sink, I mean, I got one of the best seats in the damn house. It wasn't like somebody that had a lot of money got the seat ahead of me. They took good care of the guys that were season ticket holders. So,
right.
I guess that's the way it should have been done. But anyhow, Penn State basketball was pretty good under Barkell. I mean, obviously they weren't in the Big Ten, but they were pretty darn good basketball team back then.
Well, yeah, they built. Bruce, to his credit, had to rebuild it twice. He had to rebuild it from scratch when he started. But then when they made the transition into the Big Ten, he had to go all over again. You know, new competition, new teams. That's one of the reasons, for example, I'll reveal this part of it. I have to vote for Big Ten Coach of the Year. I'm going to vote for Mark Turgeon of Maryland. You want to know why? Because he had to go out there with his team and learn 13 new opponents.
Right.
Not easy.
And,
yeah. And finish second doing it. Yeah, I mean, finish second doing it. I got to give the guy all the credit in the world. I mean, it's easy to vote for Bo, and I've voted for Bo before, and Bo's a wonderful, wonderful coach. Matt Painter would somebody be certainly a possibility. But Bruce had to learn, at that point, 10 new opponents, plus recruit, and there was a little lag time in the transition from one to the other, and there had been some talk, well, maybe they'll redshirt Freddie Barnes, Money Brown, Dave Deggetts, and he didn't want to do that, and I don't blame him. He started over, and he got it going in a pretty good direction, and then he decided to leave.
Anyhow, I'm going to go over to my head over the mountain here, but I was going to tell you know this as well or better than I do, that the toughest ticket in state other than wrestling will be hockey. That will be a really, really tough ticket.
It's a tough ticket now. Although it's been interesting this year, Dick, they've been surprisingly they're playing better this year, and of course they've sold the tickets. But there is some concern that they've had a lot more no shows this year. Part of it's weather, part of it's day of the week. I don't know.
Yeah, I understand that. But anyhow, well, I'll let you go, and then maybe when I get back on Monday, we'll see how Big Ten goes. As I say, I'd be happy with third. I'd settle for fourth. I don't expect first or second. That's just the way it is. I was pretty loaded. Obviously, Ohio State's pretty good. Minnesota. So the only way the Penn State can do is get lots of third or seconds. Maybe a first now and then. I think Matt Brown in this late class. We'll see what happens.
I'll tell you one quick thing, Dick. The one thing about Iowa, if I was worried, that team wrestles tight.
Yes, I know.
And at this stage, you've got to go out and you've got to wrestle loose. And they don't wrestle that way.
They have nothing to lose. They're not expected to win this. So they're going to go out and wrestle hard. That's the way I look at that.
That's a really good point. I agree with that point. If you wrestle like you have nothing to lose, I think you have more fun. You go out there and you do it, and you're losing. You take your shots. I think the people that either play like they have something to lose or they wrestle like they have something to lose, a lot of times they lose.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm looking out at Lehigh tomorrow. You guys have games start tomorrow down there, so I'm hoping they do well. All right, I'll see you guys later. I'm going to lose you here anyhow.
Thanks, Dick. Hey, safe trip out to Columbus. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Kevin, there's an update on the PIAA Wrestling Championships.
Yeah, the two Selins Grove wrestlers, Andrew Boob, wrestling at the 220 weight class, and also at 182, Nate Bingaman of Selins Grove. They both will receive a first-round preliminary bye. They have not yet wrestled at this point. Andrew Boob will have Jason Coker of Northampton in the first round. Anybody from Northampton is usually not a great draw, but that happens. Nate Bingaman will have Jordan Ortiz potentially in the first round, or Philip Stolfi from Souderton in the first round. So that'll be later on tonight. Neither 182 nor 220 have gotten yet to the first round. They're still in the prelims.
What's the Giant Center like? I've never been in there.
Really big. Get it? Giant Center. Actually, I was in there.
If you want, we can bring in some professional writers.
Can we at least have a laugh track or something? Oh, wait a minute. I'm the one that would control that. What am I thinking? I need to work on that. No, I don't have a laugh track. Anyway, it's great seating, great sight lines for everything. I have not been in there for wrestling. I will say that. I was in there. I have not been in there for hockey either.
Okay. I've never been in the building. I was at Hershey Park Arena many times.
Yes.
Many times. I saw hockey in there. I saw hockey in there. I saw, obviously, I announced basketball in there. But I've never been in the Giant Center. I've never had a reason to be there or an occasion to.
The first time I covered the PIAA wrestling, individual wrestling championships, it was in the arena. And to access it from the upper level where the media broadcast from the media row, for lack of a better description, there was a staircase in the bowels of the arena that wasn't real wide, and I honestly, truly don't remember much of a railing on it. How it ever passed any OSHA investigation, I'll never tell you, but... not many people used it. It was very well hidden, but it was definitely a shortcut to the floor that I used many times, and I survived. So, but yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the access to the floor on the Giant Center, which I hope is a little bit more comfortable and safe.
Okay. I'm sure for the fans, it's very comfortable.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I will tell you what I was in there for. You'll get a kick out of it. Sesame Street Live, an Elmo episode many years ago. And the sight line, I was on the floor for that, and it was pretty decent sight lines, and that was in January because we traveled north on 81 in the middle of a snowstorm. Not the brightest idea as it was snowing an inch an hour to drive up 81 in Frackville.
No. I don't think so.
It took me 4 hours to get home in what is normally an hour and a half trip.
Now, have you ever been to the arena in Wilkes-Barre? I've never been there either.
Oh, I'm really opening myself up for this one. Yes. Early on, I was there for the Keystone State Games.
Okay.
I was on the floor for the opening Miles ceremonies, when I was an athlete in the Keystone State Games,
bowling.
Yes.
Yeah, Miles Diefenbach. Did you know this? Gold medalist Keystone State Games table tennis.
I for the second time in my Keystone State Games career, I was eliminated. Oh no! That time I wasn't. I did make it through the first round before the opening ceremonies. It was the first time I went up there in high school. They had it in Kingston at the Armory at the opening ceremonies.
Right, okay.
I was actually eliminated before the opening ceremonies. I didn't know it at the time, but technically I had been eliminated before the opening ceremonies.
Dun, 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 dun.
It was the agony of defeat, I can tell you that. Although Franco Harris was really nice and shook my hand, so it made my day there.
Oh, there you go. There you go. They actually had the Keystone Games here twice. I remember covering it back in the 80s. But yeah, Miles Diefenbach, the players challenged him. They said, "Oh, come on." And they entered him into the tournament. They entered him into it. So he's like, "Well, what do you mean you entered me into it?" So the other players entered Diefenbach into the table tennis tournament, the Keystone Games. So he's like, "All right," he went up there and he won. And I think it was at Wilkes-Barre.
I mean, I have to admit, it was an awesome experience for somebody who likes the Olympic, you know, ideals and the Olympic ceremonies. It was great to be able to walk in and an opening ceremonies. And they handle it the same way they do the Olympics. You know, you come in representing your region. I don't remember if it was the second time I was there. The first time you actually wore the colors of your region, which mine was the Northeast. And you made a lap around the field, and then you took your spot in for the opening ceremonies. Same thing happened the second time at the Mohegan Sun Arena. At the time, I think it was the Wachovia Center.
Yeah. And then that fateful announcement: anybody that's already been eliminated must leave the arena.
I did not get the call until I went back to the hotel room, though, that first time.
Great. They made sure you paid for the hotel room first, and then they pulled the rug out from under you.
My dad was And my dad had a very, he has like my sense of humor. It's kind of dry at times and sarcastic. He picks, he goes, go ahead and pick up the phone. And I said, I've been eliminated. He goes, well, there's a surprise. Hey, nice vacation, though. I mean, and he did it with a smile. We were both laughing. It wasn't an insult by any means because we both knew I had a terrible match. And we both, and I missed the cut by 15 pins.
Oh, okay. So it was a total pin thing. It wasn't like you were beaten by somebody else.
No. It wasn't a head-to-head. The first round wasn't a head-to-head.
I was going to say, losing to somebody else, wasn't that the tip
off? No. I lost it by 15 pins. I left a solid 10-pin in the 10th and missed it. Mm-hmm. And that cost me making it through the first round. Now, as an adult the second time, I actually missed the first. I made the first cut, but missed the second cut by about 25 pins because I couldn't make a spare. I was watching. You know, I almost sent you a text this weekend. I was watching the PBA doubles, the Holman Roth doubles tournament. There are actually, and I have not watched PBA in a long time. There's actually guys using two hands to bowl now. I have a real problem with that. If anybody that's ever bowled in a league or somewhat competitively, I have a problem with using two hands and spinning the ball. It's cheating. And this is why I didn't send you a text on Sunday, because I figured this is what I would get back.
Oh, the show's over. Okay. Hey, thanks everybody for being a part of it today.
Remember, you asked.
Quite an ending, wasn't it? Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I'll say this, that little tidbit about the text makes me feel like I dodged a bullet.
I'll take a picture of my 297 ring and send it to you tonight so you can see it.
Well, okay then. That's a lot like the Chief and Jaws showing off his appendectomy scar.